Tribal Radio.
Well, let me tell you and all the beautiful people of SoCal that Soul Rebel Radio is the best show on the air. Always coming at you with the best mix of segments around.
What? Like what?
Well, there's music, health, fitness, always with new producers dropping a 411 each week.
That's right. Our contributors rotate from week to week, so you never hear the same theme twice. Then, we've got probably the most varied show on the air. It's like a box of chocolate. You'll never know what you're going to get.
If you're on the way home from work, pumping iron at the gym, or just chilling at home, Soul Rebel Radio is here to keep you company. Tune in every Friday at 7 p.m.
That's right, 90.7 KPFK, Soul Rebel Radio.
Support comes from CAP UCLA, presenting Seth Parker Woods, Julia Bullock, and Connor Hanick on January 15th at the Nimoy. The powerhouse musicians unite for an evening that showcases Titan composers of lyricism and storytelling from the 20th and 21st centuries. Together, the musicians perform the works of George Walker, Nina Simone, and more. More information and tickets available at cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org.
This is April Grace, and you and I are listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, and 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Also streaming online at kpfk.org.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you.
For real.
Oh, yeah.
The program's about to begin.
I love that last part. These guys owe me money. Jeff Keller, Poetry Hour Power, KPFK 90.7 FM, 3 o'clock on a beautiful California Friday.
That's right. Don't move here. It's too beautiful for you. We got enough Mexicans and pochos.
That's right, man. We got to protect
them. We're
happy. Got to protect them.
That's right. How you doing, Jeffrey?
Man, I'm doing great. Life is good right now, you know. Shooting a little detective series. I think it's going to be pretty hot. And just doing stand-up, writing, and trying to fight the good fight like you, my man.
All right. Well, I thought that photo on Facebook of you talking about a detective show was some kind of inside joke. But it's a real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing, man. It's
all right.
It's gonna be. I think it's gonna be pretty good. We're gonna see. But I think it's kind of a throwback to the 70s, 80s buddy comedy cop shows, and it's basically making fun of it, right? It's two guys trying to solve cases, and somehow they never solve them.
Well, I expect no less from you.
So yeah, things are good, man. I'm enjoying life right now. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm bounced back from my surgeries, and I become that old guy that talks about his surgeries all the time. I'm great. I might even be going to the gym after this show.
Come on, man! Stop teasing.
That's right, and I've been walking around the block and everything already. So yeah, everything, all the bionic parts are working.
Oh shoot, you the $15 man! Look out now.
That's right, and I don't have to recharge these. Well, I have to sleep, but that's about it. It's pretty good.
Well, you've been putting out some great cartoons, man, online. I've been watching them, posting a couple of them.
Oh, thank you for sharing, and thank everybody out there. Thank you for sharing everyone's work. I think we should spread the work of artists, especially people that are speaking up. You know, a big boo and a big Fucci face to all those Latinos that are online. This is like a thing the kids are doing. A big thumbs down to all the Latinos online that are very quiet these days and don't speak up about what is happening to our community, because they're either, you know, Latinos for Trump or they are just opportunists, you know?
Yeah.
So even if you're apolitical, doesn't matter. Politics are coming for you. As the events of this week proved, they've come for all of us.
They've come.
They don't care.
They've come for the whites.
And you know what? God bless that woman, Renee Good, that was out there on the front line protecting her Somali immigrant neighbors.
Yes.
That are being unjustly harassed and terrorized by this administration unconstitutionally. And, you know, sadly, she had to suffer that. And we salute her and we thankful for people like her.
Yes.
But it also does prove they've come for all of us.
Yep.
And that moment is here, and we all have to stand up.
And they will change the narrative. They quickly call her domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
she really looked like a domestic terrorist, right? Like in her minivan, you know, or whatever she was in. But, that's so ridiculous, and just it's awful to see these people lie so much. But we got a whole hour to talk about that, Jeffrey.
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do.
We've got a great show today. We've got Patricia Guadalupe from Washington, D.C., our D.C. correspondent. And we're going to talk about all those issues with her today. And also, finally back is Russell Contreras, our man from Axios and New Mexico. Our immigration expert. We needed to have someone that is in tune with what is happening out there on the front lines of the immigration issues. So we've got Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of renown, going to be on later on in the hour. So and probably some surprises, right, Jeff? Or
maybe.
It's very confident. That's a very confident maybe.
If not this week, definitely next week.
Ooh, we like to draw out the surprise and last the whole week. That's great.
Yeah, it's a teaser, baby. It's a teaser. Come on now.
But I wanted to say that. Not to do a commercial for myself, but I got my second edition of the 2026 cartoon calendar in. I didn't order enough, so I finally got those in today. The calendar cholas delivered them in their 64 Impala pickup truck and delivered it to my house. And I am packing envelopes right now to everyone that ordered. I appreciate it. But sales are going to get cut off because I'm going to be out after that. As I was recovering during this whole period. But and also, if you go to my website, this is a non-profit commercial. if you go to LaloAlcaraz.com, I'm scared of the FCC, Jeff. That's all. LaloAlcaraz.com, I have made available protest signs based from my cartoons, the ones that Jeff loves so much.
Yes.
A couple of cartoons up there for your protests and rally needs. You can get those, download them, and print them out as placards, make big signs, cover your house with them. Just don't sell them, you know, like a bootleg t-shirt, you know, in front of the SoFi for at the Boys to Men concert, okay? Just don't do that. But otherwise, they're free for you to download and print. So I invite everyone to do that. Make a lawn placard for yourself. Whatever you want to do. But that's my good deed for the week, Jeff.
Well, I think the way things are going and Humpty is going to turn it up. And we're really going to need people out there watching, keeping eyes open, and putting signs like this up, because I think they're really going to come for us, man. They're already cutting funding and doing other things in California. So we need to stand up and fight for our state and fight for our neighborhoods and fight for our cities.
That's right. J.D. Vance said, we're coming for you door to door now. And he says he means undocumented immigrants, but that's not what he's talking about. He's coming to terrorize. They want to terrorize everybody, and that can't stand.
Yeah, they want you scared. They want to put fear so people won't fight back, and that's their main goal. So they can do whatever they want to do. But I tell you what, I'm glad to see the Congress, some Republicans, step up and pass the ACA. So people could have, everybody could have subsidies, so everybody can have their health insurance at a reasonable cost.
Yes, let's hope that continues to pass. But you know who might know about that? It's the lady that's going to come in after we strike up the band.
All right, band, let's do this.
Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese, man. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Well, yes, here. I am, folks.
Yes.
This is the longest year of January.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start, but I will start with what you mentioned last, which was the vote on the healthcare tax credits. It hasn't passed Congress. It only passed one part of Congress.
Okay.
So we have to wait and see what the Senate does with it. But it is a good sign. And part of it is what you were talking about at the top of the hour. A lot of Republicans are looking at all of this incredibly crazy stuff that's going on and saying, Bubba, we might lose in November if we don't get our act together. Because, this incredibly tragic event in Minnesota happened to a U.S. citizen, a white woman. And a lot of people in the social media sphere, in the Black and Latino community, are saying, we've been telling you for a long time that this has been happening. George Floyd, Breonna, all these other folks, no one said anything. And all of a sudden, a white woman is killed by an ICE agent. And now people are realizing, we told you, these people don't care, just like you said. And the way that the White House has spun this, this is a woman who was dropping off her kid from school, returning from dropping off her kid, happened to drive by and saw what looked like an ICE, operation. And she is a community activist and said, ICE is here, get away, get away, get away. And they basically shot her point blank in her car and killed her. And the Homeland Security people are saying, especially Kristi Noem, she was a domestic terrorist. She was a left-wing activist. They're making stuff up as they go along with this. And remember, too, that there was a shooting in Portland, Oregon, too.
Yep.
Related to some Border Patrol people. Can anyone look on the map and see how far is Portland, Oregon from the Mexican border? Okay, even the Canadian border is not that close. So, this is an out of control agency that is poorly trained, poorly managed, has the highest budget of any law enforcement agency in the United States, including the FBI. And, you know, they're running around like a bunch of vigilantes. And the vice president yesterday said, it was justified because she ran him over. Not true. He's not true that he ended up in the hospital. He ended up walking away from it. What is true is that she was shot and killed. What is true is that the ICE agents did not let a doctor and a nurse go to attend to her. And a physician is actually on a video saying, I'm a physician. I want to see if I can help. The ICE agent yelled back, I don't care. I don't care. And that's basically the bumper sticker for this particular administration. I don't care. Because this is an escalation of a situation that has started from the very beginning of the administration and has just gotten worse. We can laugh about some of the stuff that they come up with online and some of the things that Stephen Miller, you know, the good old Pee Wee Goebbels, as he's called on social media.
The white pride of Santa Monica High.
Your favorite.
Come on now, slow down.
Yeah, you know, it really is like what you said. These are a bunch of people that are, you know, trying to terrorize everybody, and they're doing a really good job of scaring a lot of people, but also outraging a lot of people by having people go out on the streets in a very peaceful way, actually. And if you saw what the mayor of Minnesota, the mayor of Minneapolis, rather, said the day before yesterday, I have a message for ICE, get the F out of Minneapolis. A lot of TV stations didn't even bleep that out. You know, people are fed up because you have an administration that came into office offering to all of those 77 million people that voted for him lower cost of eggs, lower cost of bacon, a lot of jobs. None of that is happening. And people are starting to wonder, okay, what does this have to do with anything? And this is at the same time that we have the situation in Venezuela where the Trump people went in there, grabbed this guy, whatever you may think of Nicolas Maduro, as being a terrible person and basically bankrupting an oil-rich country, the fact that the United States went in there without any kind of provocation and took him away and then said, we're going to take over the Venezuela, we're going to take over the oil, and by the way, me, Donald Trump, is going to control the profits of the oil companies. And when when one of the reporters asked him, you know, well, what are you basing it on? And he's like, I'm basing it on my own morality, which everybody knows is pretty much existent. Yeah. So, you know, you have all kinds of craziness. And today he was talking to some of the oil executives about Venezuela, and saying, well, you know, Cuba is going to feel the brunt of this because they're not going to get oil from Venezuela. Well, they don't even know the politics of that because Cuba gets their oil from Mexico. And so now you have the president saying, well, you know, maybe we need to talk to, you know, do something about Colombia and about Mexico and about Greenland. You know, all of these countries are looking at the United States and saying, what in the hell is going on over there? And a lot of people, like you said, Lalo, haven't really said much of anything. And I'm sure they're starting to realize, at least in Congress, that when you do nothing, you're letting this person get away with a lot. Because even today, he was talking about putting on a second floor onto the West Wing of the White House so that it would match the large East Room ballroom that he's going to be doing. I mean, it's just, and what are we not talking about? The Epstein files,
right?
You know, and even earlier today, or actually earlier this week, the director of the Medicare and Medicaid services, Dr. Oz, so from the land of Oz, They asked him about the new health guidelines, which now include more red meat and more dairy products and fewer vegetables. They asked him about alcohol consumption, and this is the exact quote that he said: "Alcohol is the social lubricant that brings people together." And
hey, that's how he got his friends. Come on,
this is a doctor. This is a doctor that says that. And then when they asked him about, well, are there any guidelines on consumption? He said, "Oh, well, just don't have any for breakfast."
So, you know, it's, he said, it's bottoms up.
It's called. And then someone said, "Well, I guess you haven't heard about mimosas, you know." I mean, you know, this is just when you think you've heard it all. And then there's also the movie about Melania that's coming out.
Oh my God!
And guess who's
On Pornhub?
Well, here's the thing: a lot of the movie theaters don't want to premiere it, so it's going to be premiered at the Kennedy Center.
Well, Kennedy Center. Talking about alcohol, I guess he forgot about that little thing called Chappaquiddick.
Well, yeah, but you know,
he forgot about that little alcohol situation.
He was probably thinking, well, that was a Democrat. We don't do that kind of stuff, you know. If you know, just when you think you've heard the craziest stuff coming out of D.C., it gets crazier by the minute. And it's becoming now dangerous and fatal. And that's what's really pathetic about what's happening now is the reaction to what happened in Minneapolis and what happened in Portland with the FBI freezing out the state and local law enforcement in Minneapolis and Portland and saying, we're going to investigate it ourselves. Almost like the Fox saying, I'm going to investigate who ate all the chickens, you know. That's basically what they're doing. It boggles the mind, really.
No, what it really is, and I've always said this when they've showed police shoot and kill black kids and that, and they show it on TV and that, I call that a public lynching and letting people know if you act up, this can happen to you. And that's why they treating her like they're treating her, to let everybody in America know if you plan on doing the same thing, this is going to happen to you.
And here's the thing that's saving a lot of it. And this happened with George Floyd too, the video. Okay, the video completely contradicts what the police, or ICE in this case. I don't even want to call them the police. It completely contradicts what the White House is saying. And they even released a video of the officer talking to this woman where clearly she was not trying to run him over. And I don't know about you, but if you get hit by an SUV, you're not just going to get up and keep walking away. And this is what that officer did too. He not only did not get hit by her, he went over to the car and saw that she was slumped over and blood all over the place and said, effing B. Mm-hmm. And then said, oh, call 911. And then he got into an SUV and sped away. So yeah.
He jogged over there, right? I saw it.
Yeah.
He kind of jogged over to see, and it was horrific.
And then you had, you know, the Chrissy Gnome saying, well, they were stuck in the snow and they were trying to get their SUV out of the snow. And anybody who's lived in the Midwest knows that the snow plows over there are extremely efficient. And there is no way that an SUV is going to be stuck in a street in snow in Minneapolis. And if you see the video, that street is completely clean and clear. It was not stuck anywhere. So, you know, they're making stuff up. But here's the thing. If there wasn't a video that contradicted all of this, then what happens when the only thing that you have is the government or law enforcement saying this happened? This is what is saving a lot of people from getting harassed and even injured, is a video showing them that, you know, we're going to get justice with this particular video. And that's why you see so many people taking out their phones and cameras and videoing everything, because we need to have evidence, because clearly we have a government that is bald-faced lying to everybody about these kinds of things.
Yeah, but they don't care. This is the thing.
This guy's
going to get off. And that's why I'm saying it's a public lynching to let people know, if you try it, this is going to happen to you. And guess what? Ain't nothing you can do about it. And that's what they're telling us right now. And that's how this administration is. They're letting you know, we can shoot you and nothing's going to happen because we have immunity, which is not true.
And here's the thing, too, is that, you know, the white community, I mean, stereotypically, they're like, oh, they're not going to come after me. I'm OK. I can go ahead and tell people, you know, get away. They're not going to do anything to me. Well, guess what? What happened in Minneapolis, it completely contradicts that particular thing. It's not just black and brown people anymore. It's everybody.
Oh, yeah. They done made Karen and Susie and Linda mad. It's on and cracking now.
Yeah, all those Karens that complain about stuff in the homeowners association, they better watch out.
Karen and Kevin, they're coming for you.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're going to shoot the manager.
But I do want to congratulate Marco Rubio for being the Secretary of State, the national security guy, the governor of Greenland, the governor of Minnesota, the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, head coach of the Green Bay Packers. You know, he's got every job in the world, you know, in a typical Latino way. He's working hard, you know.
He is from Miami. He's going to be their quarterback next year. Come on, let's keep it real.
Yeah, or you know, he could be their coach. They did fire the coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, it is. It
could be him.
Cubans are my favorite type of Mexican.
Oh, and here's the thing. Speaking about Miami, they're really pushing, and Stephen Miller is your favorite Nazi over there in the White House, is pushing to open up the embassy in Venezuela, the U.S. embassy, with the proposal, or with the purpose, rather, of starting to deport Venezuelans back there from the U.S. That's the purpose. Wow. That Stephen Miller has. So, you know, it's all part of that. And you know, anybody who thinks that this is about, you know, helping democracy and liberty is just being incredibly naive. This is about oil and about immigration, because if you were so concerned about regime change, you would have not tolerated for more than 60 years a communist country 90 miles away from Key West. But because Cuba has platanos and not oil, they're left alone, you know. Yeah. But the Cuba's on Marco Rubio's radar because, you know, of course, as part of the exile community, he wants him out of there. But they're trying all kinds of things. And he says, I'm going to meet next week with the people from Denmark to talk about Greenland and see if they could sell it to us. This is the kind of insanity that they're doing. And then and then next we're going to talk to Mexico, and next we're going to talk to Cuba. You know, it's nonstop insanity. It's almost like a bad comedy special, you know.
I want Greenland and Brownland.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
And people, please understand this. This is what kills me. There are people, well, the gas prices are going to go lower because we have more oil. It's like, no, they'll stop production. They slow down production, so the prices will rise. And we have enough oil. It's all about if they want to produce it or not. They're not going to cut their own throats and go, well, the prices are for oil is low, so we're going to keep producing. No, they cut back on production, so the oil prices will go up. So your gas prices will go up, people. It does not about the oil to save you money. Get that through your heads.
Right. And remember that it takes a while, a long while, to refine petroleum into usable gasoline. And the type of oil that they have in Venezuela is very thick, and it takes a long time, and they don't have the infrastructure to do it anyway. So when the U.S. says we're going to take 50 or 60 million barrels of Venezuelan oil, and then we're going to sell it and use the profits, who are you going to sell it to? The majority of the petroleum that the U.S. gets is from Canada, not from Mexico, not from Venezuela. This is all about trying to line their pockets. And like you said, bring about a sort of Latino version of OPEC, like a cartel, an oil cartel.
Yeah. They're going to call it a Mantec.
Well, you know, the Spanish word for chaos is Lio, L-I-O, which spelled backward is oil. And that's exactly what's happening. This is all a big mess.
And the craziness is Trump and Rubio have both put out there that, you know, maybe we'll invade Mexico.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go in there and go after the cartels.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and if you think that that's not going to happen, we hope that it doesn't, but they're talking about it, you know. And I don't know what the Colombian president said to him a few days ago, but he must have scared Trump because he changed his tune. Oh, well, we're going to meet with Colombia and we're friends with Colombia. So somebody from Cali must have called up Trump and scared him.
Well, you know what he said? He said that they're going to cut off the cocaine supply to Don Jr. And then he said, oh, well, okay, whatever. We'll work
that.
Can't
do that, Dad.
Yeah, we'll go.
And not only that, they're going to bring back his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend from Greece, the one who screamed bloody murder at the Republican National Committee. And that'll scare everybody.
Oh, my God. She's like the creature from the Black Lagoon. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh my God! Well, Patricia, this endless pile of news is not going away, so we'll just have to have you back next week.
Oh, you know it, you know it. It's the ongoing circus here, you know.
Oh my gosh!
But that's why you got to tune in, people, because we're keeping you informed of, you know, what kind of circus we're going to have next week.
Yeah, circus is getting bigger. All right, Patricia Guadalupe from Washington, D.C., thank you for keeping us informed over here on the Pocho Hour of Power. We'll see you next time.
All right, we'll talk real soon.
All right. And I would like to say, before we take this short break, to hear the Speedy Gonzalez sports report at the bottom. We're also showcasing some friends. Different Folks, they're called Different Folks, a Neo Sly Stone experience with a special tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on Saturday, that's mañana, January 10th, at the Catalina Bar and Grill. Doesn't that sound great, Jeff?
Sounds marvelous. Anything that deals with MLK, I'll be there.
MLK and Sly Stone together again.
If you want me to stay, come on.
That's right. And we've got a pair of tickets. So call in 818-985-5735, 818-95-KPFK. Let's get some of you folks out there to the Different Folks Neo Sly Stone experience. That sounds like a wonderful tribute to Sly Stone, and also to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Call in 818-955-735. And let's hear the music and then the Speedy Gonzalez Sports Report here on the Pocho Hour of Power.
KPFK, this is Charlie Gonzalez. The Lakers host the Milwaukee Bucks tonight at 7:30. The Purple and Gold sit in fifth place in the Western Conference, but hold first place in the Pacific Division, two games up on the Phoenix Suns. The Chargers face the Patriots on Sunday Night Football on NBC in Foxborough. But first, tomorrow the Rams take on the Panthers at 1:30 on Fox in Game 1 of Super Wild Card Weekend. Immediately after, on Fox, UCLA men's basketball faces Maryland home, with Dodgers manager Dave Roberts serving as the game's honorary captain. Sunday, it's the women's turn as they square off at the Nebraska Cornhuskers at 4 p.m. on Big Ten Network. This has been Charlie Gonzalez with your KPFK High Speed Sports Update.
Donating your car or boat is an excellent way to help KPFK stay alive and on the air. All you have to do is call 877-KPFK-AUTO. That's 877-KPFK-AUTO. And we will take care of everything. Seriously, it's that simple.
Hey, this is Lila Downs. You're on KPFK. You're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power.
Hey, sometimes we're right and sometimes we're wrong. The Pocho Hour of Power, KPFK 90.7 FM.
Yeah, funky, Jeff.
Come on now.
Yes, welcome back, everybody, to another beautiful day in Los Angeles. F ice. No need to bleep that out. And now we are joined by our man in New Mexico, our national correspondent on all issues, on everything. He's just an expert on everything. From Axios, it's Russell Contreras. Welcome back to the Pocho Hour Power, but can we hear Russell's theme song, please? I already talked over it.
Oh, there it is. I love
Welcome
that.
Back. The Pocho Hour Power, Russell. That theme song.
I hope everybody had a good. Yeah, everybody hope you have a new year, all the Pochis and Pochexes.
Oh, so yeah, happy new year, everybody. Gee, breaking news. Happy new year.
It hasn't been happy so far, people.
Yeah, it's been pretty mixed. Russell, how's it going and what's happening, man?
Well, as you know, there was this little situation in Minneapolis and another one out in Portland where in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, a 37-year-old mother was shot and killed, allegedly by ICE officers, and two more people were shot by Border Patrol in Portland. This is, of course, bringing up issues about what kind of immunity do federal agents have. Did you know right now that a animal control officer in your local area could face more accountability for shooting an animal right now than an ICE agent can for shooting a human? The animal control officers, if they shoot your dog, there are laws in place where they have to face accountability if they unlawfully shoot your dog or your cat or your pet snake. But for ICE agents, there is very little case law and there are no consent decrees. And it's very unclear about how they can be prosecuted or disciplined. Right now, the Trump administration says there are protocols for excessive force on ICE agents. But have we seen here in the case of Minnesota, it's usually their word against the suspects. What we know now is that state officials in Minnesota are attempting to file state criminal charges against this officer or this agent. But from history shows us with Ruby Ridge, it could take us years before we clarify if this person has federal immunity. After about 8 years or a decade or so, then they may be brought to trial. In the meantime, the new kid, the new orphan whose mother was killed, will take years even to receive federal tort for lawsuits to get money for this where he would claim an unlawful killing of a mother, it would take years, probably the kid won't be until high school or college before they get a payout. So we're following this at Axios. It's breaking news. It's developing as we speak. But right now, there's very little precedent. Only Ruby Ridge, and by the way, the Federal Fugitive Slave Act. That's something we followed. And this has given us a kind of a clue about what's going to be happen in the next future.
Wow, that's quite a legal parameter there, a range, you know. That's really just it's tragic and it's pathetic, and also breaking videos just coming out every few hours, different viewpoints. The shooters, the officers, I use that term loosely, his cell phone. He was on a cell phone the whole time because he was, you know, getting run down, right? But he was on a cell phone, and it videotaped her last words to him, and which were like, "I'm not mad at you, dude," and which is almost more of a Portland thing, I guess. But man, that's really
what we did. You know, before we did this, you know, I did a takeout for Axios explaining what the superpowers are for ICE agents. And you may not know this, but ICE agents aren't required to wear body cameras. They can cover their faces. They don't have to provide badge numbers or identify themselves. And they can arrive in unmarked cars and don't need a warrant from a judge to detain someone. This is very different than local police in many cases. And like other federal agencies, they can ignore rules that govern local police departments, like those local agencies with a history of abuse or that operate under court-imposed restrictions on racial profiling. And in some cases, ICE agents can even arrest U.S. citizens, but they're not supposed to place them in immigration detention. Even so, very few U.S. citizens have been detained in recent ICE raids because of agents' mistakes or negligence.
And they go right to the detention centers anyway,
and
that's right.
We're going to see a lot of federal lawsuits about that, and that's something we're going to be watching very closely at Axios.
Yeah, that's locally here. That the young man that was the Walmart employee, he was one of the first ones that I saw that had detained by ICE, and he spent I don't know how many days, 6 days or something. I'm not sure in detention, but all these cases are just like that. It's really, it's outrageous that all people are being denied their due process. But what else is happening in the world of Axios? And how can people get the Axios newsletter?
Just go to axios.com/newsletters. Get our newsletter from Mike Allen every morning in your inbox and the PM news for free, giving you top news from Axios. On the same topic, it's right now as the raids are happening and Democrats fight over what the response should be to President Trump's immigration crackdown. Immigrants are turning to traditional Catholic and unofficial folk saints for protection and courage in this political climate of mass deportations because they feel hopeless. This spiritual panic is blend with cultural revival comes with this crackdown with no end in sight. So figures like Sued and your favorite Lalo Santa Muerta have popped up at protests and on car dashboards across the country. And many feel like they have no other recourse but the divine or the supernatural. And these saints have become real important. A lot of saints like Saint Jude, the saint of lost causes, Mother Carina, the patron saint of immigrants, and Santo Toribio Romeo, who is called also the Holy Coyote. He's been a patron, the unofficial patron saint of migrant and border crossers. You're starting to see these images all across the Southwest and at protests. People saying, "Look, we need some divine intervention. Nobody is sitting there to help us. We feel hopeless. The Democrats are going on their own way. Republicans are going their own way, and there's no sign of any kind of immigration reform. They're going to these saints, as we always do, to look for some sort of recourse. And that is a growing trend across the United States.
Is that Santo Livio? I mean, I think
yes.
that's my Santo. So
that's your Santo, right?
Yeah. I didn't know he was. I had the Coyote Santo.
Yeah, you did. And it's for border crossers. I always, mine was St. Jude, the saint of lost causes, only because my grandmother used to say, "You're a lost cause." And so I'm like, oh, that must mean that's made for here. And so, and that was always my saint when on my little league team, my soccer team, that we're this for the lost cause because my teams were so bad. I don't know if the teams were so bad or I was just so bad. But either way,
Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, not my team. I'm the Houston Texans. So, no, not mine. But in other news, something coming up here, and I know this will really excite Lalo. Did you know that there is a growing phenomenon of people using pink cocaine in clubs? What is pink cocaine? It's a mixture of ketamine, ecstasy, meth, fentanyl, all kinds of drugs. Jeez. Dyed with pink dye. And it is
that pink dye is harmful.
The pink dye is very harmful, right? It's banned in other countries. The other stuff, well, you know, whatever. And people are taking this, what we're calling poly drugs, for this euphoric new state as they go to clubs. Pink cocaine has its own music called guaracha, which is a club version
It's got its own music.
It's got its own music. Right now, you can go to Spotify. People call this in Colombia Tusi because they think it's 2C or 2CB. So it's a Latinized version of Tusi, pink cocaine. People think that it's 2C, this psychedelic drug, but it's a very new mix of drugs. Started in Medellin, Colombia. But it's coming to the United States. It doesn't necessarily need to be imported because you can make it in your kitchen. The problem is no two batches are the same because there's no pink cocaine national council to kind of solidify what needs to be going there. It could be anything. Exactly. So you could be taking something. What health officials worry is that you be taking something trying to get a psychedelic high, but you could get a lot of fentanyl and your heart could stop breathing. You could have trouble breathing, all sorts of things. Health officials are warning, saying do not take pink cocaine, do not take it. I know, Lalo, we've taken a lot of stuff at your Malibu place back in the day. And pink cocaine is not there. Also, in one of the federal lawsuits, P. Diddy, Sean Diddy Combs, even the criminal case, it was alleged that pink cocaine was one of his favorite drugs to use at these freak-off parties. So pink cocaine has been around. Not a lot of reporting on it, but it is showing up in Los Angeles, New York, Miami, even some places, rural areas in Louisiana and in Colorado. Pink cocaine is a new drug, but it's very dangerous.
Wow. See what happens when you have the Barbie movie?
It's the Barbie movie, and I know that you and I, we both have girls, and we got a lot of pink stuff to show what kind of a man we are. I'm actually talking to you on a pink Mac, but I'm not snorting it, and I've never been high off my Mac.
So you're gonna be on cocaine with ketamine, and ketamine will have you like peeing all the time. So that's what would get you all excited, right? It's cocaine and enthusiastic.
And ecstasy, by the way.
So it must feel good when you urinate. What the hell?
It must do. But you know what the thing is that it's called pink cocaine. There's very little evidence that it even has cocaine in it. It's just that that's what people call it. There's little evidence that it has 2C, this other stuff that it's called. It's a very mix. It's a poly drug, and it's really dangerous. I mean, we're joking here because when people take it, they actually don't know what they're snorting in their mouth. It's used like cocaine. It's very cheap. It's very cheap to make. And all you need is these other drugs, ketamine, fentanyl, maybe heroin, and you mix it up and you give it out. And people are branding it, putting smiley faces on bags. You can buy it online. I hate to tell listeners there.
Really?
I know some people are going to start Googling it. But it's a very dangerous drug, and it's something the health officials are saying you need to watch out for.
Don't forget the tajin. That's the secret ingredient.
Actually, in New Mexico, I think they put green chili in it to give it a
I think so.
Well, until I see Don Jr. snorting it, I ain't buying it.
He's got all the ingredients in his kitchen, though. You know that.
See some pink stuff on his nose, then I'll know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Russell, that is the craziest story. You've brought us many a crazy story. Yeah. here, thanks to Axios on the Pocho Hour Power, but we really appreciate it, man.
Anytime I can bring the pink cocaine vibe, I'm happy to do it for the listeners here. And remember, you go to axios.com/newsletters, get the newsletter straight to your inbox every morning for free. Go to axios.com to see the latest news out of D.C. and around the country. We'll bring this soon, and we'll be following what the immigration fallout is in Minnesota, Portland, and in places near you. So go to axios.com. We'll see you next week. Ahoy!
Oh, hey, yeah. Man. See what pink cocaine makes you do?
Pink cocaine makes you do a lot of things.
Whatever happened to blue cocaine? Dang, what's going on?
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know how to top that. Imagine having to follow that, but at least before we get to our next segment, let me say that we may or may not still have a ticket or two to go see different folks at the Catalina Jazz Club this Saturday night, mañana, January 10th. Neil Sly Stone Experience, special tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Doors open at 7, shows at 8:30. Catalina Bar and Grill. You can go to their website at CatalinaJazzClub.com.
Please come join me in my trio.
But otherwise, let's hear a little music and then get to our next
tribute to McCoy Tyner and performing original music.
What was that? That
Ozzy got it playing the promo.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
I said, music is for amateurs. I'm playing a promo.
All right. Well, let's welcome our specialist in immigration here on the Pocho Hour Power. She's embedded with us now. At the Pocho Hour Power, it's Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of renown. Welcome back to the Pocho Hour Power.
Hello, Lalo, and everyone there. It's a pleasure to be with you guys again.
Yeah, thank you. It's we need you more than ever here at the Pocho Hour Power and in the greater world of pink cocaine and and just whatever. How are you?
Good, good. I'm basically hitting the ground running this January and helping people not to freak out too much when it comes to immigration. We've got some court hearings coming up. We're preparing people. What the new torture de jour is seeking a third country. So if a person that's afraid to go, for example, to Nicaragua, they'll say, well, go to Guatemala, or you can go to Honduras or some other place. Uganda's getting full. Uganda says they only want people from the African continent. So there's Ecuador, Honduras, and I believe Guatemala, but they'll probably come up with something else. So, you know, we're dealing with that on the ground, but there's also litigation that's happening that you're midstream and all of a sudden the rules change for better often because we're winning in federal court to stop this nonsense. Because, of course, you know, like, for example, again, Nicaraguans have a very good case. Venezuelans. And did you hear what Noam said? Basically, she said, well, we did cancel TPS. Maybe that was a mistake. But for now, you can go ahead and apply for asylum if you're from Venezuela. She said, actually, refugee status. But you don't apply for refugee status if you're already here. You apply for asylum, technically. So
yeah, and they're pretending like any of these statements mean anything because they're just going to pull the rug. Doesn't mean anything. It's really insane. I'd like to know, is Wakanda accepting any refugees at this time?
Yes, they are. I've checked, and I'll be there next week.
All right. You're lucky. Don't take any pink cocaine over there. All right. I'm sorry, Meredith, to interrupt. But
and we're also putting out the call for people, and I think what happened in Minnesota is inspiring people to continue with their struggle. You know, lots of people that are not really in tune are saying, oh my God, they shot at this white activist. But we do know that at least I think it's 40 immigrants have been killed or have, they say die, whatever, but in detention or fleeing immigration. There are people that in Camarillo that were killed. And and again, it's because there's lawlessness when it comes to the priorities of ICE. They're just grabbing people off the street. So of course people are very frightened. And of course they're going to react. And then you have the other layer of activists who are trained usually, but that get caught literally in the crossfire. So I think it's an important call to justice, to action. You don't have to be an immigration lawyer or, you know, some expert, but definitely through Indivisible and other organizations, you can get training and be at a safe distance, obviously, document what's going on in your communities with ICE. And that's very important because sometimes we have to do on the immigration side motions to suppress evidence, for example, or in certain federal cases for habeas action to get a person out of detention. If there are violations of ICE protocol, there is a definite inclination for these federal judges to let people out because there's been such a transgression of basic human rights. So I think it's very important. It's not just because we're angry, but I think from a legal perspective, it's very important to become engaged, to become more aware of what's going on in your community, and really give honor to the memory of those who have died in this struggle, unnecessarily so. And I think behind the scenes, maybe not publicly, I think that it is having an impact on just the administration, because obviously they know that all they care about really is getting reelected, and they're going to have certain problems starting in November and beyond. And there's going to be accountability for this administration, if not immediately, in the near future. So we have to stay engaged. We have to become even more unified and know that in different professions, immigration, you know, as an attorney, but there's so much of a need for all of us to get engaged. So I would like to put out that call to people to honor the legacy of those who have died. And it isn't just one person in Minneapolis, but it's, you know, a whole movement basically that we really want to honor and keep up the great work and challenging times for sure.
Well, Trump did say that if he loses the midterms, he will be impeached. And he's scared of
that. Right. And that could very well happen. Yeah. I mean, they're saying that they're not going to get the Senate, but I doubt that. I think people are pretty outraged by the conduct of ICE and on the administration. There's no accountability. And we have to rein them back in. And it's we the people that will do that.
I mean, did you get your DOGE check? Did you get your tariff check? Did you get any of these?
No, and they do say that people that need to leave can just sign up with CBP-1. But hey, you got to go by January 14th in the case of those people who were invited for family unity purposes. Now they turn around, they're giving them less than 30 days to go. And they're saying, by the way, you'll get $1,000. Have you guys heard of anyone that's gotten any pay? I mean, it's not worth it, you know, and you have to coordinate with them. People don't trust the government right now when it comes to immigration, especially, you know, if one is an immigrant. So it's a real dilemma. People, you know, some people are opting to leave and get their green card outside through the U.S. Embassy if they have a case that's pending. So those that have the family unity parole, please reach out to a nonprofit. It could be Cares and Rescate, Catholic Charities, your server, you know, Servidora. But you need to get that information immediately because there's a deadline of January 13th, which is literally just a couple of days from now.
Wow. You know, Meredith, I'm not trying to brag, but the Pocho Hour Power is so lucky to have their own in-house immigration expert, you, and immigration jokester, me, and Jeff. Jeff, just what do you do, Jeff?
Man, I inform the people and I fight for the rights of immigrants every time I get on stage.
There you go. I was just playing, man. I think we should do, you know what, I just had an idea just to create more work for us, is one day we should have kind of like a clinic or something, like a radio clinic, you know, like half the show maybe the whole damn show. We stack it with a panel and we answer every question about immigration that comes in, and I may even allow call-ins.
What? What?
Which
you should.
Who are you?
Lalo. Come on. We have to let the public engage. Let's go.
Well, but then all the crazy people call in. But anyway.
Well, that's why you have a screener.
All right. Well, I think that would be a good idea because these things, we do not hear the little details, the gears and everything. We have to sit down with someone like you to hear these things, and we don't hear them in the media. So, I think that's a let's put a pin on that one. Get all your homegirls and homeboys, and let's wrangle a big whole hour of that.
Absolutely. We have AILA, we have the Southern California Immigration Bar Association. We'll get everybody on board.
All right. Well, Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of renown, thank you so much for joining. Attorney of renown, thank you so much for joining us here on the Pocho Hour of Power. And Happy New Year.
Yeah, to you too. And Jeff as well. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.